Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
Welcome back to Silver and Black Today, powered by our good friends, Sam and Ash Injury Attorneys. Call them anytime, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what's right. On a Monday, Raider Nation still trying to absorb what happened last night. A game the Raiders could have, maybe should have won. They earned a lot of respect, but respects don't put wins in the win column. Hi, everybody. It's Scott Culbranson back with my co-host, Q Myers. Q was supposed to be in the studios, but because of COVID stuff, he is now on location here in Las Vegas. So we're in the same city for once, and we can't be in the same room. Q, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing good, man. Still thinking about that loss last night, thinking about the way it shook out, thinking about the whole game in general, man, and really being in Allegiant Stadium, that's a whole nother level and experience. And I know you've been doing it for a while now, covering the team all season long, but that being my first opportunity to be in the building last night, man, it was just amazing. So I'm still kind of at awe, you know, kind of not stunned, but just kind of, you know, just soaking it all in, man. But I'm definitely blessed to be here.
Yeah, and Q, we'll get your impression of the stadium and all that stuff too a little bit later, because I think it's important, because like you said, that was your first time, your first impressions, and we sat together up in the press box, and I know you talked a little bit about it and the difference, because you've been to Jerry World many times down in Dallas, so you have some comparisons. I think that would be good for folks to hear. Coming up on the show, as we do every Monday, Hondo Carpenter will join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll get Hondo's impression of this game, as well as our 13 minutes with Hunter Renfro segment coming up at 3:20, as well as Sam and Ash will close out the show with them. We'll talk to them about the game, but also about the times we're living in, because there's actually, with all these new mask mandates and stuff, some interesting legal things that we'll talk about with them too towards the end of the show. But let's get to this game. And Q, as we were sitting there watching it unfold, really just an amazing game. And I think that when we walked in, you know, most of us believed, hey, this could be a game where the team that has the ball last will win the game. And sure enough, that's how it went down. We saw all this stuff happen. And I think there's a lot of talk around the country, national media, talk within Raider Nation about, hey, the Raiders are for real now. There was some people convinced last night, despite the fact that they lost. And I think that's really interesting, because many of the national shows led with the story, not that the Chiefs beat the Raiders, but that the Raiders were good enough that they should have or could have beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was no doubt about it. They should have won that game, you know. And so that was the thing. When they beat them week 5 in Arrowhead, it was a fluke. It was, oh, well, the Chiefs didn't do this. The Chiefs didn't do that. The Raiders got lucky with a couple breaks here and there. Well, now all of a sudden you fast forward to Sunday night and you see what they did. And you see that they ran toe-to-toe with them the course of the game, you know, and really kind of led the pack the whole game, for most of the game at least, and then just fell short at the end when Kansas City gets that touchdown to go ahead. But, man, it was like, okay, the Raiders are actually playing to win. You know what I mean? It's not like they're just playing to hang in. They're playing to win this game. And so I think that opened a lot of people's eyes to what we already knew, that this offense was really cooking and coming along. They just needed an opportunity to get off the field a couple times, and they probably would have won that game. But, well, we all know how that works.
Yeah, we sure do. And if you look at this game, a couple of things. I mean, clearly one of the things that people are focusing on, Q, and I understand it, because the last play of the game that the Chiefs scored on. So when Travis Kelce pops over the middle on a route and there's nobody there to cover him, how did that happen? And Gruden talked about that after the game. And by the way, I will tell you this. I don't think I've ever seen Gruden as emotional, angry. I thought he might just blow up sitting in that chair, like spontaneous combustion. But here's what Gruden says. This is clip 0. This is what Gruden said about what happened on the last play.
We didn't have a rush. We had a stunt, and they wanted to stunt up, and Mahomes bought some time, and he got us on a second reaction play, he and Kelce. But it was a combination of him buying time and our stunt not getting home.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, it had a lot to do with that, but it also had to do with blown coverage on the back end. Yep. You know, and that's something I know a lot of people have been talking about throughout the day. Kirk Morrison, who we've had on the show, obviously a former Raider linebacker, he went on Twitter and he was kind of outlining what happened and that was Jonathan Abram and his coverage. He just blew it. It was cover four, and he was supposed to be there, and he didn't because, well, Patrick Mahomes started to roll, and he lost his assignment. He's a little undisciplined in that, and we all know that he's very aggressive. That's what you love him about, you know, love about him. But at the same time, sometimes, you know, he makes a play like that and it goes the other way.
Well, and let's play a cut. John Gruden just had his press conference, by the way, where he again, I was talking to JT. I was on his show to end his show, and we talked about John Gruden and how he's starting to really do read between the lines and some of this stuff. And this is another one. But they asked him, Tashawn Reed from The Athletic, asked him specifically about what Jonathan Abram has to do to get better, referring not directly but in a roundabout way to the last play of the game. And this is cut number 67. By the way, Chris Chapman, the Magnum Man's back.
He's back?
He's back.
He was touring the world. He's back.
He's back. So we got him here, and he's going to
pour up another drink.
There you go. He's going to play cut 67 for us here.
Well, I'm not going to single out any player at any press conference. We lost that game yesterday because we didn't get it done. And we all got to focus better. We all got to play better. And certainly, we all have to coach better. And that's about all I'll say about that.
There you go. I love when
so
he does
those.
He's
going to say it,
yeah,
but he's not going to say it.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly what I thought. And I love his Forrest Gump ending, by the way. That's
well,
all I'm going to say about
it. And obviously, he's still very angry about that. But, you know, it was something that me and you commented about in the press box is that not only was he vividly angry, but even when Derek Carr talked, and, you know, Derek Carr usually has his same demeanor that he always has at the press conferences. This one was one of those exhausting defeats. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Because it was right there and they knew it. So when DC put his hands on top of his head and sat down at the podium or whatever, you knew right then that, man, that was an absolute gut punch.
Yeah, it was, and I know, and you talked about that on your podcast today, right,
yeah,
about that gut punch, because that was the perfect description of it, Q, because, you know, you get so close, you're there, you should win that game, you should win the game, and you don't. And I know a lot of Raider fans want to say, oh, well, Mahomes, this, that. Look, it's a mindset. That's the one thing I was going to mention today, is the mindset, which is, if you heard Andy Reid speak after the game, he said, listen, I looked up at the clock. I saw we had 1:40. I said, oh, yeah, we got plenty of time. Right? We're going to go down. We're going to get this done. And then Mahomes in the press conference said, we know the championship has to come through Kansas City. And the thing is, those aren't slogans for a bulletin board. Those aren't slogans that you put on a T-shirt. Those guys believe it. And and that's where the Raiders have to get. The Raiders are not as far as they have to go. I wrote a story on our website today saying that path to success, it's long. The Raiders are far down. They're further down that road. Okay? They're not at the finish line by any means. Because if they were, they finished that game last night, okay?
Right, exactly. They're opening eyes, though.
Yes, they're opening eyes. And today, by the way, Q, you saw before we went on air some breaking news. They claim Tack McKinley, who's failed two physicals.
Yeah, exactly, which makes you feel great about that one, right?
Exactly. And then they also claimed Vic Beasley.
Right. They signed him to the practice squad?
Correct.
Yeah.
So the Raiders, and I think this is a little bit of what we were talking about with JT earlier, which is if you read between the lines, I think John Gruden's patience with guys not getting the job done is gone.
It should be.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And look, Jonathan Abram, I'm not trying to just, you know, pound on him or whatever like that, but we just happen to be talking about that last play. So I know he still is young and we still basically considered a rookie, but if you're going to be the alpha dog and you're going to be that guy on the back end that's going to, you know, be the dude, you know, the heartbeat of the team, you've got to correct your mistakes. And that was a big mistake that he made in that game. And, you know, look, They got down the field way too easily. So I'm not just going to put it on Jonathan Abram and say he was the only reason why they lost that game. They got down the field super easy. So that was just a collective defensive effort.
Yeah, and it wasn't 60-yard passes to Tyreek Hill. It was it was stuff over the middle. It was stuff between 10 and 20 yards that they did all night. And you go back to, you know, a lot of what the Chiefs did was a surprise to me. And they took a page out of the Raiders' playbook. They played that pass control, ball control, excuse me, offense. That first drive of the third quarter, to me, was the big part of the game. They kept the ball for so long and kept the Raiders deep. They understood that the longer they played against the Raiders defense, the weaker it would get and the better they would be able to do.
Yep, exactly. I mean, they absolutely took a page straight out of the Raiders playbook, you know, holding that ball. I mean, look, to only have two possessions in the third quarter was incredible.
It's nuts. And Gruden mentioned that in the press conference. He said, hey, listen, we need to have more opportunities for our offense. We need to put the offense in better position to score. And that's what, you know, that's exactly what the problem is, because at the same, you know, that this team, the only time this team is going to win is when they score points. Okay.
Right. Exactly.
And, by the way, we'll get to your calls. I know people have a lot to say. 702-365-9200 is the Raider Nation hotline, as well. So we'll get to you guys there as well. Also, we'll talk about the dream I had and how that almost came true. Later on, as well.
You almost made me leave the game. I was so spooked out that I almost left.
It was funny because I looked over at you, and the look on your face was like just this almost kind of just disbelief on your face. So it was kind of funny, but we'll talk about that. If you don't know what that is, that was on Friday's show. We'll talk about it in a second. But Q, the thing is with this Raiders team is, you know, you have to look at it from the perspective of, it's about wins or losses. There are no moral victories. We keep hearing that over and over and over again. And so now, but the Raiders are still in a good position. The Raiders at 6-4 now versus the Raiders at 6-4 last year, completely different situations, right? Where they were coming off beating the Bengals, I think, up at the Coliseum 17-10, and a couple other bad teams. I can't even remember off the top of my head. That's the one I remember. So now you're going into a situation where you got to go on the road to Atlanta. That's a tough game. You know, all these people think that these games, because these guys don't have good records, they have a lot of tools, and with your defense the way it is, you're going to have to go get it done. But this Raiders team is there. They just have to put it together. They have to be able to do it. They have to be able to get some plays from that defense. They got it for 3 weeks. They just couldn't get it at the most crucial time on the biggest stage against the best team or one of the best teams in the AFC.
Right, exactly. And that's part of, you know, the maturation process. And I know nobody wants to hear that. Everyone wants them to win right now and take that next step. They were close. You know, they went toe-to-toe with the defending Super Bowl champions, you know, after beating them in week 5. So they can clearly run with anybody, but they're going to have to get better. We said that before the season started. It was going to be up to this defense to help get the Raiders where they ultimately want to be. The offense is there. The defense is going to have to step up and make a few plays.
No doubt about it. I mean, look at the Chiefs through 10 games. Opponents against the Chiefs average 17.5 points. That's it. So the Chiefs defense, not too bad.
Right.
No. Except against the Raiders, in two games, they've given up an average of 35.5 points.
And the Raiders did anything they wanted to, dog.
Yes.
Anything they wanted to. It looked almost like child's play. It was easy.
Yeah, it was. All right, we'll go out on the phone lines here. A couple phone calls before we go to break in a few minutes. We have Salty in Fresno. Salty, how salty are you?
5-9.
Pretty salty, because I just don't – there's a couple things I saw on defense, and we can continue to pile on Abram, but like that one penalty he had on the sideline, he's just trying to lower his head and just dominate everybody, and he makes a dumb freaking error, gets a 15-yard penalty, and they score on that drive. And then you got Max Crosby. They were running outside the whole game on us on that zone read, that read option. And the DN's crashing in on every single play. So I don't know if that's a coaching error or if that is just the players. And to me, I actually thought Gunther called a good game, but I honestly think now it's the players that are just not producing. And, you know, and I heard a caller earlier. I don't want to hear anybody talking about how we need to get rid of Gruden. I mean, Gruden's making our offense look just top of the line. If I hear somebody say we need to get rid of Gruden, I mean, that is just, take that. Don't ever answer that person's call again. But to be honest, it's just our D-line keeps crashing in when they should be stunting out. That last play of the game where there's like a little pound or like a mound of players and Mahomes throws deep and Abram's just trying to headhunt. I don't get it. I think ultimately it's the players dropping the ball right now.
Good call, guys. Good call, Salty. Thank you so
good
much.
Stuff.
And he brings up a good point there. Listen, the coaching is you coach technique, you coach scheme. But when a player's on the field, if they don't follow it, You can't control it. Okay? So whether players are, I mean, we saw players out of position. I think JT brought up a good point earlier in the first hour of his show that's worth repeating, which is Jonathan Abram just needs to play safety. He doesn't need to go out and just crack people all of a sudden on the sideline. He needs to play safety and play coverage, stay back and wait for the ball and the man and play it, okay? That's part of number one. But the question is, it's not being too hard on Jonathan Abram, because remember, this is that was Jonathan Abram's 10th game. He's a rookie, okay? He's no different than Damon Arnett. They're rookies, and they make mistakes, and they're going to get burned, and that's fine. On this play, though, you have to wonder what happened. There was communication issues there. Nick Kwiatkowski takes Kelce out, and then he lets him go because that's what the scheme says you do.
Right.
He lets him off. Yeah, you pass him off. Then Jonathan Abram doesn't do his job. And again, right. I'm not being hard on Jonathan Abram either, because a lot of people don't do their jobs at times and they get exposed. It just happens. It's football.
Well, you know, going back to Salty's call, that's what it's all about, man. They didn't set the edge, you know, and that's where Cleve Ferrell was missed.
Yes.
Cleve Ferrell is really good at setting the edge. And so a lot of those outside runs, those zone runs that Salty's talking about, that is opened up because you don't have Cleve Ferrell there, you know? And so a lot of Raider fans that are angry at Cleve Ferrell because he doesn't have the stats, he doesn't have the numbers. He does a lot of work. He puts in a lot of yeoman's work that doesn't get a lot of credit for, but you see when he's not there how valuable he is.
Yeah, that's a great point, Q, and they really, really missed him yesterday. He was a difference maker in that first Chiefs game and would have been last night. Okay, we're going out back out on the phones. Mark, you're with Scott and Q here on Silver and Black today on this Monday.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, guys. Q just brought up an excellent point, but I do want to say that it's the players and the coaches. I mean, you know, the disciplined, good defenses out there, they don't just let it – they make adjustments. I mean, it was just obvious we were getting killed on the outside sweeps, and, I mean, there was no adjustment to it at all. I mean, I know Cleve would have made a big difference, but I don't know. That was just kind of glaring. Gruden is one of the best play callers, one of the best play designers. We're so lucky to have him back, and I love Coach Gruden. The only thing that it just bothers me to no end is in the few losses that we've had is he gets very conservative. If you notice in the Buffalo game, there was a fourth and short. We kicked a field goal and we were, you know, it's like you have a staring contest and who's going to blink first. We were going back and forth toe to toe with them. We get down and it's fourth and one. What's the strength of our team? It's that offensive line, especially in the middle with Hudson and Gabe Jackson and Denzel Good. And we sent that field goal team out. It was 14-14. And, I mean, Gruden got bailed out because they had some, I don't even know what it was called, you know, they were arguing with the ref or whatever, get a 15-yard penalty. But to me, when you lose by 4 points, that was just undisciplined football right there. And I don't know if anybody's talked about that. That was a huge sequence in the game, Scott. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get a 15-yard penalty. Did anyone ever explain what the call was? I don't think I've heard it yet, I read all the guys online and everything. To me, do you guys think that was a huge call in the game?
Yeah, because you're third and one at the one.
At the 1 yard line.
Right? You don't get in.
Yeah, and then it was fourth and one.
Then it was fourth and one, and you get moved back because of the penalty.
What was the call?
Gruden cursing at the official and giving him the business.
He got out of the box.
That's undisciplined, right?
But that's it. Yeah, he took responsibility.
I thought that was a good time for him to rip him, though, because the pass interference call that they had on Damon Arnett on the possession before was very suspect. And then you could easily flip it around and say that should have been pass interference on Bryan Edwards if you're going to call it even. So I understand why Gruden was so angry.
True, but Q, at fourth and one before the penalty, he had sent the field goal. Wouldn't you have gone for it right there? I mean, you were –
yeah,
like I say. Yeah, you don't blink. You got to keep going. And like I said, in a few other losses, it's been the same way, like fourth and two, and he gets very conservative. And those field goals aren't going to work against Kansas City. But, hey, I love to show you guys.
Hey, man, I appreciate your call, Mark. Thanks so much.
And Scott, real quick.
Yeah, go.
You pointed out in the press box you didn't like that play call, period.
No.
Third and one, the fade route to Bryan Edwards.
No, it's a rookie.
Yeah, I didn't like that either. I think that third and one, and you got Jacobs and Ingold, I'm getting in behind Ingold, and I'm going for it twice.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I get maybe throwing the ball. If you're going to throw the ball, then I think you go to one of your sure-handed tight end veterans.
Waller.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Waller, and then later in the game, we saw what they did with Witten. Yeah. So, it's interesting stuff. Although I do say that I don't think that they did a bad job of adjusting at halftime defensively. I just don't think guys made plays. Because remember, you get to halfway through the third quarter, and the Chiefs have 21 points. So that defense, which is one of the worst defense, or was one of the worst defenses in the league, held the Chiefs to 21 points and actually held them to 28 points almost through the entire game.
Right.
If it wasn't for that last drive. So actually, I just think it was simply just players not making plays. All right. We're going to take a break. Raider Lou, Joe, and Lester, you're online. Stay there. Hold on. We will get to you right after the break. You're with your boy Q Myers, Scott Gilbranson. This is Silver and Black Today, only on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black Today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gilbranson and Q Myers.
Q, there you go.
Man, I've missed this music. Man, it's been so long since we had some quality hip-hop as return music.
There you go.
Man, hey, Chapman, you're not allowed to leave anymore.
Chapman, vacation revoked forever.
Yeah, you can't have vacation, dog.
You're back here, Silver and Black Today, powered as always by our friend Sam and Ash. Visit them at samandash.com because you deserve what's right. They'll be with us later in the show. We'll talk with them about the whole COVID stuff and masks and legal implications, actually. Very interesting stuff. We'll talk about that to end the show. But first, we are talking about the Raiders' loss to the Chiefs. How you guys feel about it? 702-365-9200 is the number. We're going out to our good friend, frequent caller, visitor on the Facebook page, everything. Raider Loke, what's going on, man? How you feeling today?
I'm feeling great about that win. Scott, you got me shook with your dream. I mean, I'm pretty sure you saw my tweet as I was watching the game. I was like, man, I'm not saying I was shook, man. But I was like, you know what? Hopefully we could contain it, but that wasn't the case. But you really got me surprised on that one.
Yeah, it was so weird. And again, I'll tell the story real quick. On the Friday show, I told Q about a dream I had, and my dream was the Raiders won on a last-second pass. My score was 35-31 or something like that, or no, 34-30 or something like that. The score was 30-28. That's what it was. And it was Carr rolling out, and I said, he hits, of all people, Jason Witten. And so what happens, Jason Witten, he rolls out on that broken play and hits Jason Witten on a touchdown. And I remind Q, and Q looks at me, and like for 2 seconds, Q was a white guy.
Yes. I was speechless, dog.
Because he turned white. Like, I'm like, holy crap. And I was even like, holy Nikes, what happened? So it was interesting. It was fun. And I was like, it even gave me like chills, you know, for a second. And it wasn't enough. But, man, it was a great game. And I know, I mean, hey, Raider Nation never wants to lose. They never want to lose to the Chiefs to top it all off. But the team is getting there. For the first time in, I think, 20 years, this whole thing is headed in the right direction.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it's funny because I had a buddy over, had a Niner fan over, you know, Niner fan and a Raider fan united to hopefully take down the Chiefs together. But I told him, hey, a host on the radio station called this, and he had a dream about it. I'm like, nah, you're lying. So I actually replayed it, and he was like, what? He couldn't believe it. But now I know everybody is going to probably blame the drop passes, you know, the bad calls by the ref. I mean, unbelievable, you know, the blown coverage by Abram, but you know, I'm a guy that pays attention to the details, and I believe what truly won the Chiefs that game was their run game and their time of possession. Now, I know they only got they won the time of possession by a slight margin, by 2 minutes, but at the end of the day, Cleveland Farrell was clearly missed on the edge. You know, he's the one that really sets the line, and, you know, back in week five, they didn't have a stellar run game like they did yesterday, and, you know, they were able to. In the first half, I was kind of like, hey, it almost seems like we're making the Chiefs earn it, the touchdown, since they were on the field for a long time. But then I was like, wait, what if they just took a page out of our playbook and decided to do the same? So it was really, I believe that's really the reason why now, you know, like I said, low-hanging fruit with those drop passes, bone coverage, calls by the ref, but the run game and the time possession is where I believe they won the game. And
yeah.
And something else that I wanted to bring up real quick is when Le'Veon Bell scored that touchdown, now, Damon Arnette seemed like he was running full force, full speed. why is it that he dove towards his feet? Now, I believe he's done that before, and I get it. You kind of want to trip the running back, but at the same time, if you trip him, he was already kind of in the end zone. But at the same time, I believe if he would have stood upright and either led with the shoulder or even wrapped him, I believe they would have contained him at the one or even caused a fumble if he would have actually led with the shoulder or something like that. I don't know if you guys saw anything different there. I was able to tell my friend, hey, you know, what the heck happened? Why did he dove? But
yeah.
I don't know if there's something that you guys saw there.
Yeah, Raider Loke, thanks for the call, man. It's great as always. I think in those cases, Q, it's just a guy making a play, so he's trying to make up space, and instinctually he went for the legs to take him out.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's just what they do. You know, defensive backs, they usually aim low anyway, you know.
Yeah. And so, by the way, you're talking about the Raiders. I think, look, the Raiders' offense was near perfect. Derek Carr was near perfect. We haven't even talked about Carr. We'll talk about it with Hondo Carpenter coming up next. But he was near perfect. They scored 31 points on a defense that's been allowing 17 and a half a game.
And they did it like it was nothing, man. That's something I just keep going back to.
Yeah.
It was like it was easy. It was almost like taking candy from a child, and they just weren't able to finish the job. But getting up and down the field was not a problem. When they got the ball with, 5 minutes left, I had no thought that they weren't going to go down there and score.
Right, but I do think that's where the drops come in. Remember those the Aguilar drops?
Four drops.
You have four drops, and then you had the Ingold drops. Three of the four would have been first downs, right?
Yep.
So then you extend. You have an offense that scored 31 points, and I think the first time with Aguilar, they had to punt, right? So, again, you would have kept the ball in Derek Carr's hand, and Derek Carr was wheeling and dealing like you had never seen before. I think, not numbers-wise, but I think it was by far his best game as a pro because he was so in command. He nailed every pass that he had to nail. The interception of the matter doesn't matter. That was like a Hail Mary, basically. So right. I'm not even worried about that. But they did a great job. Okay, we're going to get another call or two in here before we get to Hondo. It is Joe. Joe, you're on with Scott and Q here on Silver and Black today.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good,
first
brother.
Time caller. Love the radio station. And I'm glad to have something all Raiders, which we really never had when they were in Oakland. But anyways, you guys just stole all my thunder because on your show up to now, no one had talked about the drops. So all this talk about the defense and stuff, I expect Kansas City to score 30-something points. They do it against everybody. They do that against good teams. I mean, this game was lost because we dropped four passes. It's our fault. We dropped four passes that no professional player should drop. That I don't know how many points those would have been. They couldn't stop us. That's where we lost. All the other stuff being equal, our defense is terrible. Who cares? Whatever. I mean, you cannot drop those passes. Passes are at least 10 points. That we should have had.
Well, Joe, I don't disagree with you. I think, look, I said last night, in big games, players make big plays. And, I mean, those weren't even big plays. Those were just routine catches. And there's no question that it hurt them. At the same time, you were one stop away from winning, and it would have been enough.
I want to say one other thing I'd like to say, and I don't know if anyone's noticed this, and it's probably silly because they would have won anything, but on the last drive – on the 44-yard line, it was 3rd and 2 for Kansas City. The right tackle moves way before the snap. That would have made it 3rd. Look at that play. I looked at it 10 times. The offensive right tackle moved before the snap. I don't know how 8 referees on the field miss it or how many there are on the field. It would have made it 3rd and 7. Now, probably they still win the game because we couldn't stop anything. But you know, no one even brought that up. It wasn't even brought up on television. It was so obvious that the right tackle moved. Look at that play.
We mentioned that in the press box, Scott, last night.
We did. Yeah. Yep. We saw the replay. In fact, they were coming
right over at you and said, hey, that definitely looked like a false start.
Yeah, because even coming back from TV, because we can see the TV. And thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it. We can see the TV feed as they're prepping it for coming back from the commercial break. It's the Raw feed. And they even queued that up. And they were going to, it looks like they were going to show it, and then they never showed it. It was really weird. But officiating, but that's the Raiders, right? If you're the Raiders, you have to take all elements away, and that's how you win championships, is you just go out and you win. If you get ahead and you do what you're supposed to do, then you don't have to even worry about the referees. All right, we're going to get to our guest. If you're on hold, stay there. We promise we will get to you guys. We're not going to forget about you. But we go out on the newsmaker line. We bring in our good friend from Sports Illustrated's Raider Maven website, and that, of course, is Hondo Carpenter. He's going to be with us in just a second. We're just getting the phone line beefed up here. The phone line's melting down because everybody's calling in, of course. But by the way, it Q, happens. What about the stadium? Give us your impressions for folks, you know, because that was your first time walking in there and seeing the glory that is the Big Al, the Allegiant Stadium.
I walked into the Taj Mahal, man. That thing was amazing. I mean, it was just awesome. From walking up to it and walking around it as I had to go to the entry to get in and get my credential and everything, it was just an awesome, awesome display. That building is great. Raider Nation, you have a good one. When you're allowed in that building, you will be so thrilled. And the Raiders are going to have such a great home field advantage. That place, Scott, you mentioned it in the press box last night. If there was fans there last night, that place would have been rocking and rolling. It would have been just awesome. Like Derek Carr says, awesome.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah.
That's how he says it, too. He always puts extras on. He says, awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got that little twang. He's got a little Texas in him, right? So it's still there. Yeah,
he's got his Texas roots.
And then some Fresno. You know, you get a little bit of Fresno.
He's a Bakersfield boy, but he's got his Texas, his H-Town roots.
Yeah. Well, that, but then also, you know, we talked about the fans, right? If there were fans there, then there would have been just, I mean, literally, as I said earlier, like Caltech, the seismic activity would have been just massive.
Yeah.
Because it was crazy. The atmosphere, it was the one time too this year. Well, second time too. The first game against the Saints, I think, was the same, which was where you really realized that there was nobody there, and it really had an impact on the game. I mean, it just did, because not just Raider fans, but just noise and all that stuff, that adds to big games.
Yeah, it does. But I'll tell you, man, just being in the stadium, and look, I've watched every Raider game this year, but being in the stadium, and you know this already, with nobody there, it just feels almost eerie. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like walking up to the game and walking outside the stadium and not hearing people yelling and cheering and barbecuing and music playing.
Yeah.
And it just being silent was almost scary. I was looking around like, someone's going to jump out and say, surprise.
Yeah, it's too quiet, but it is what it is, right? At least we have football. And,
yeah, exactly.
I still don't get used to, because on TV, people hear crowd noise that
crowd
we don't
noise.
Hear in the stadium.
Right.
And so I hear people, I hear them talking trash to each other. You know?
That is so funny, man. You hear the Chiefs yelling at Derek Carr and, you know, counting down the play clock. When it gets to 8, they're already at 3, you know, trying to throw him off. And it's just crazy, man. I heard guys from the sideline talking about, get his ass! You know, it's just, man, it's crazy.
It is crazy. All right, we're having a little bit of phone issues. So what we're going to do is we're going to take another quick break, usually earlier than we do. So we'll stay with you for the rest of the hour. So we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get Hondo Carpenter on the phone. We'll get your phone calls, and we'll talk about the big Raiders-Chiefs game from last night here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.
If you believe Tom Brady did fumble and that Franco Harris didn't catch that pass and call it the Immaculate Deception, then you found the right place. This is Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Welcome back. Silver and Black today, powered by Sam and Ash Injury Attorneys. 702-820-1234 is the name. Excuse me, is the number. The name is Scott Colbranson, along with Q Myers, and we are talking Raider football. We're talking with all of you about the game last night. What were your impressions? Clearly didn't get a Raider win, but the team overall looked pretty good on offense. I don't see how you can be upset with anything that happened. Yeah, drop passes, I get that, but overall pretty dang impressive. All right, we're going out to Lester. Lester's gone.
Just kidding.
Lester couldn't hold on. We're going instead to Raider 818. You're on with Scott and Q. What's going on? No, Raider 818's gone
denied.
Too. We're having phone problems, dude. We're having major phone problems.
Hey, ask JT to get on that, man. Ask JT if he can do something about
JT
that.
JT had an issue too as well. But JT's
my guy, man.
We're gonna try to reach out to that. We've had problems with our hotline. We have problems with our guest line. So hang in there as we're trying to get a hold of all of you. But 702-365-9200 is the number when it's working. So we'll see. But one of the things, too, we get anybody back now?
Fabian.
Fabian. All right, we'll go out to Fabian. Fabian, what's going on, man? Hey, the phones are back up.
Hey, it's Monday. What can we say, guys? Hey, so like I told Pritch and Clay this morning, I was, you know, going to be all pissed off, grumpy this morning and everything. But then, you know, I sat down and took a look at a couple of numbers. And granted, we're not playing soccer. We're not Canadian football. But, you know, if you took the aggregate score of both games, you know what the score was?
What was that?
Raiders win by 4 points.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's why I brought up the defense, Fabian, because, again, the Raiders only – or, excuse me, the Chiefs only giving up 17.5 points a game, and the Raiders are averaging 35.5 against them. And, by the way, if you look at the seedings, right, if the season were to end today, which we know it's not, the Raiders are in that last seven spot. You know who they play in the first game of the playoffs?
Chiefs.
The Chiefs. And I don't think thanks for the call, Fabian. I don't
Did he drop the mic on that one?
I guess so. I guess
he's
like,
going to play? The
he's
Chiefs?
Like, he's like, hey, man, I can do math. I know Scott can't do math, so I'm going to do some math, and I'm dropping the mic.
He knows I can't do math. Only thing I know how to count is money.
That's an important one. All right, we're going to go out. We finally have our guest, Hondo Carpenter. Hondo, thanks, man. Sorry, we had all kinds of phone issues. Glad we could get you back on. How you doing this morning and this afternoon?
Hey, I'm doing great, and I'm going to tell you this right now. I was on the phone earlier today preparing for my appearance on your show with a buddy of mine who's a general manager at another NFL team. I want to read you this quote from him. I'm going to be writing about this in an article this week. He said, quote, "There is one team Kansas City doesn't want to face in the playoffs. It's the team that downed multiple starters last night, almost beat them again. Trust me, I know the way Andy thinks. They don't want anything else to do with the silver and black."
Yeah, no. And that's why I brought up that stat, and I keep going back to it about points allowed, Hondo, because the Raiders, you know, there's just some time. The Raiders, they are being built. John Gruden, Mike Mayock had said this going into the draft this past April. We have to build to beat the Chiefs. That's what we have to do. You look at this offense. You look at what Derek Carr, who was almost completely perfect last night, has been able to do this season. They have that off. That offense is there. I'm not saying it's perfect, but it's there. The defense is what they have to worry about, but they are building to win in that division, and I'm sure Andy Reid can see that, wow, this team has made a lot of progress in a short amount of time.
Well, think about this one. Think about the fact that you say the defense isn't perfect. They're down Richie Incognito. They're down Trent Brown, who I don't think will be back here next year. I mean, they're down some big-time starters on offense as well. And look how far the offense
Very
has come.
True.
Listen, we know the Raiders can compete now offensively with the Chiefs. There's no question about it. Offense is not the issue on this team. Clearly the problem, and it doesn't mean the offense is perfect, but clearly the issues on this team rest on defense. Now, you can say that's Paul Gunther, and I understand fans going right to the G-man, but I don't think it is. I mean, this is a guy that he's coaching with the players that he has. He's coaching with the guys that they've got. They're choosing to roll with a lot of young guys because they're choosing not to go out and overpay in free agency on a guy you got to give a five-year deal to who's only going to be good for two, or go out and overpay for a guy at the end of his career, and then you have to overpay your young guys when they start coming like a Max Crosby. I understand the situation they're in. You may remember, Scott, I said before the season, the reason I said this team was 10-6 and would go to a playoff game was because I expected them to be exactly what they are, a very good team that the offense is better than the defense, but the defense is on the come. But they're building for the future. There are no anchors on this team. And by the way, in this article I have coming, do not underestimate, ladies and gentlemen, the salary cap's dropping next year dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
And the Raiders are one of few teams that are not overburdened. They're going to possibly, now we don't know how far yet, so let's just say possibly, but they're going to possibly be in a position next year to be buyers. But there's going to be a lot of teams that are sellers that are going to be so far over the cap with big contracts because no one thought about the fact you're making huge deals with players. In some cases, making them as much as 18 to 20% of your cap. And all of a sudden, nobody thought about a coronavirus. And bam, the cap takes a nosedive, and you're stuck. I'm telling you right now, I understand everybody's mad. When you see Travis Kelce in the last play, as wide open as his was, I mean, you have a right to be angry, but if you're not enjoying and excited about the way this team is building, the way the Chiefs did it for the future, if you don't have one eye looking at this season and one eye looking ahead at next with the dropping salary cap, with the incredible salary discipline executed by Gruden and Mayock, then you're not thinking long term, and you should be glad the people on Raiders Way are.
Hondo, it was, first of all, it was my pleasure to meet you last night, my man, so thank you for that. But
hey, it's great to meet the Q.
But Hondo, how big was it that Clee Ferrell was not out there? I think his presence was very much missed.
Do you guys remember early, Scott? I hope you remember this. Early in the preseason, I wrote an article, and you asked me about it on my show, about Clee Ferrell, and I wrote about him becoming the man.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people laughed at me. A lot of fans laughed at me. So a lot of the people in the media room laughed at me. But you could see coming with him the way he was working in training camp, the way he had grown up from a young pup to a Raider dog. And you could see the way he was paying attention to detail. I will tell you this. I think the Raiders were a Clee Ferrell away last night from being able to get a stop. And I'm going to tell you, I think it was a huge loss for this team. Not the only one, but it was a huge loss. But you saw Jonathan Abram, who's technically in his rookie season, make some rookie mistakes. You saw some mistakes from a Trayvon Mullen. But you know what? Those are young players. Those are guys you expect them from. This Raiders team is coming, and they're bringing a lunch pail. And I'm going to tell you what happened last night as the eyes of the world were on the Death Star. What happened last night is the Raiders served notice. We're not there yet, but we're coming. And guess what, Kansas City? This is a rivalry now. We punched you in the face, and you responded, and you out-finessed us. But you weren't down five starters, and you're not the team that's on the – you're on the – you're there. But we're coming for your seat. And guess what, boys? You beat us last night. But we beat you in Kansas City, and your wives and your girlfriends and your fans all know now we're legit. And, guys, we're on our way. I understand the sackcloth and ashes of Raider Nation. But I have also come on this show and said, do you let me be your death angel? When I've said things like, you know, you're being stupid for Rick for ripping Derek Carr. Well, let me now be your hope dealer. Let me now inject into your body the Viagra of silver and black emotion that says today, nice. While disappointed with a loss to the Chiefs, you are flying the high, the patched pirate, the pillaging just for fun, dude. And you've sent a message now to the NFL that we're coming. And the eyes of the NFL now are on Vegas. Yeah, you're sitting there 6-4. You're still going to be 10-6 and get to the playoffs. You will win in Hotlanta this weekend, Uncle Hondo declares. But let me be the hope dealer that tells you, as you sit around the Christmas table with the one jacked uncle wearing a Mahomes jersey that no one in the family wants to claim, and you can declare with utterance, yeah, it's a rivalry now. How's that broken nose feel? Has it healed? You saw toughness, grit, spit, dust, blood, and mud at the Death Star. If you're not jacked for the future of your franchise, dear God, go buy a Houston Texans jersey.
Yes, don't be flaccid. Stand up. Get that Viagra of silver and black. I love that, by the way, Hondo. That was good. Hey, listen, one wild card question I want to ask you. We got about 2 minutes left, but you know, it wasn't germane necessarily to winning or losing last night, but it just stuck out at me, and I mentioned it to Q a couple times during the game, not because I think the player is necessarily struggling, but Henry Ruggs didn't get a target until the fourth quarter. I understand the Raiders have a diverse amount of offensive tools. They can spread the ball around. Gruden likes to do that. He likes to use what he has and do it differently. It's not the same every time. We have Hunter Renfrow on later, and he says every week the same thing, Hondo. I don't care if I have one catch or 10 catches as long as we win the game. But isn't it odd to you that we still don't see Henry Ruggs really? I mean, he had a run. He had a couple other targets, but that was it, and it was very late in the game.
Well, it didn't, because I specifically watched that because I was watching how Kansas City blanketed him. Mm. You know, they had a corner under coverage and a safety over.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes people don't understand that just because a guy doesn't get a bunch of targets, it's sometimes because they're taking what they'll give you. I mean, there were times that you hit a Zay Jones or a Derek Carrier because they were, you know, putting a man under and a man over on Henry Ruggs.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at how the ball got spread around last night, and you can be disappointed Henry didn't touch it more, but then you also have to be realistic and say, why not, and go back and see film or be in person like we were and see how the Chiefs were worried about Ruggs getting behind them. And then you can say, okay, if were it not for Ruggs, if this were last year, where the ball didn't get thrown around as much, it's because there wasn't a threat of a Henry Ruggs.
Right.
So Henry Ruggs completely impacted that game, whether or not people want to give him credit. Because, you know, remember the last time, you know, he did damage against Kansas City. They were not going to let Henry Ruggs beat him last night. But guess what? If the Raiders' defense had done anything, the Raiders would have beaten them, and they would have said, yeah, well, Henry Ruggs did, because you had to overcompensate for him and you opened creases for other guys. So, yeah, I did. I can see where people look at a stat sheet. But unfortunately, football isn't played on paper. Go ask the Chiefs, who are spending a lot of time in ice-filled baths today, because it was a physical fist fight against the Raiders. You know, they took what they gave them. And if you're going to put an over and an under on Henry Ruggs, that's fine. We'll hit Zay Jones. Go ahead. Yeah. We'll hit Derek Carrier.
Yep.
Yeah, that's fine. You know, there was one instance where I put this on Twitter where they came out, and I was, because of the formation and some things I've noticed in the past, I believe Derek was going to a play-action pass, and then he audibled in, and then he audibled into a run, and it went off for six, and I said, you know, that's not going to get a lot of credit, but that's all on Derek. But there was another time early in the game where Derek comes to the line of scrimmage, and late the Chiefs changed their defense, so he had to take a timeout. And I saw people ripping Derek Carr on Twitter. Well, he didn't have time to audibleize. The play clock was going down. He had to call that timeout because the play maybe would have gone for a negative four. Again, those are things that aren't going to show up in the stat line. Just like Henry Ruggs,
yeah.
If he's covered, you can't throw that ball. If you want him to, then you're going to have Derek Carr sitting here today with probably six more interceptions. So you know what you do? You got a great quarterback, and I'm up against the break, but you got that quarterback who says, I won't throw that interception, I'll hit Zay Jones.
There you go. Hondo Carpenter, follow him on Twitter, at Hondo Carpenter. Of course, read SI, SportsIllustrated.com, Raider Maven's website. If you go to Sports Illustrated, you'll find it with the Raiders content. And Hondo, I know you're going to sit in with us Wednesday pre-Thanksgiving and chop it up with us for a couple hours. We'll have a fun casual show, and we'll talk some football, man. We appreciate you as always.
Casual? The day before Thanksgiving? You think I'm coming casual? You're wrong. I've got the chef's hat, and I'm bringing a Raider feast.
All right, man. As always, Hondo Carpenter. Thanks, brother. Take care. All right. There you go. Oh, man. Always good keeping stuff. It real. Always keeping
it real. Yeah, always good stuff.
All right. We are going to take the top of the hour break. When we come back, we'll take some more of your phone calls. It's also, as on Mondays, as always, we do the Q-tip a little bit earlier, because coming up at 3:20, it will be 13 minutes with Hunter Renfro. We'll talk to the Raiders wide receiver about last night's game and get his impression of how it all went down. You're with Q and Scott here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.